Speak loudly. Speak clearly. Speak fearlessly. But speak lovingly. And I pray for the men and women who will hear these words. May the words mix with faith in their hearts. May the words change us. And may the words transform us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Everybody said amen. Turn your Bibles, if you will, please, to the Gospel of Luke, the 15th chapter. It's a fairly long passage of scripture, but we're going to stay here all through this afternoon. No, I didn't mean till 5 o'clock. Luke 15, 11 through 24. It's a very familiar passage of scripture, one that we all know about, but one that I would like to bring something fresh out of this morning. Luke 15, 11 through 24. I'm going to read the odd number of verses. If you will please read together the even number of verses. And he said, a certain man had two sons. Please read. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance on riotous living. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? And I'm no more worth all thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Read. The son said unto him, verse 21, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. And I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Read. Let's read verse 23 and verse 24 together. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to make merry. The story we have just read is one that we are all very, very familiar with. I believe that this is not the first sermon that you will hear connected to that passage of scripture. I have personally read that story many, 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 many times. And I've preached a couple of sermons on this narrative many times. But what I have to say to you this morning is like nothing that I have ever said about this passage. The reason is because I now see something in this passage of scripture that I have never seen. Like I now see. So I want to plead with you for your undivided attention as the Holy Spirit speaks from the heart of the Father through this unprofitable servant to your heart. Have you ever wondered what made the prodigal son to leave home? Have you ever wondered what made him decide to come back? Two different actions. One day he went to daddy and he said, "Give me everything that belongs to me, I'm leaving." And then one day he came back to daddy and said, "I've spent it all, I'm back." What made him do those two things? The answer can be found in verse 19, actually in verse 17 of the long passage we have just read. Let's read it together, verse 17 again. Let's go. "And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger?'" I'm preaching this morning for the sake of those in the tape ministry on the theme, "He came to himself." He came to himself. That simple statement, "He came to himself," has very serious implications. "He came to himself" implies that up until that point, he was not himself. You can put it another way. Up until verse 17, this young man was beside himself. Maybe it was 3 years, maybe it was four, maybe it was five, maybe it was six. But all that time, this young man was not himself. But then finally, he came to himself. When he went to his daddy asking for everything that belonged to him, it wasn't him. He was not himself. At least if this passage, if we take it literally. When he asked the share of his wealth, he was not himself. When he took off and left the house to go and have a good time, he was not himself. When he squandered all that he had on riotous living, this young man was beside himself. When he was having a good time, drinking and partying, and going in and out with prostitutes, it wasn't him. He was not himself. When he finally became broke, he still wasn't himself. When he went and applied for a job to keep his lifestyle going, it wasn't him. He was not himself. He was beside himself. When he secured a job to do what was forbidden to be done by his countrymen, keeping pigs, he was not himself. When he was eating what pigs were eating, was not himself. But one day, somehow, he woke up and he became himself. And he said, "Wait 1 second. What in the world am I doing here?" My prayer for you this morning is that whatever is forbidden by the God of heaven, my prayer for you this morning is that whatsoever is contrary to good reasoning, my prayer for you this morning is whatsoever you yourself you have stood against in the past, whatsoever you have condemned in others in the past, hey, whatsoever is forbidden by the word of the living God, may no power be able to manipulate you to do them. I said, may no power be able to push you out of yourself in the name of Jesus. May no power be able to make you to become somebody else. May no power be strong enough to convince you that wrong is right. May no power be able to make you walk away from the presence of the Heavenly Father. May no power be able to convince you to rewrite the Word of God. When you have been manipulated against the Lord, may God deliver you before the sermon is over. If you are presently acting contrary to your normal character, if you're presently acting as if you're beside yourself, if you're presently acting as if you think there is a heaven that is different for you to go to, may God open your eyes by fire. May grace straighten your life out. Anyone who is beside himself or herself here this afternoon, may the spell be broken by fire. Oh, may great victory come to the one that says the loudest amen. May restoration to sanity be the portion of the one with the strongest amen. Hey, and he came to himself. I want you to take a good look at yourself this morning. Is this you? Or is this a new you? Huh? Is this the you that we used to know? Or is this a brand new person? Not for the better, but for the worse. Now that should not be a hard question to answer. No. After all, you know yourself. You know who you used to be. You know what you used to believe. You know the promises you made to yourself, to your God, and to the people around you. You know the principles that you once lived by. You know the standards that you once upheld. You know the vows and covenants and promises that you made to God and to man. You know the lifestyle that you once cherished and upheld. It shouldn't be difficult to look at yourself this morning and conclude whether you are the old, virtuous, God-fearing, spouse-loving, faithful, diligent, sober, serious, chaste, or you have become a new Angelina. Many today in churches across the land are living, but they are beside themselves. They have been manipulated for whatever reason to discard the old for the new. They used to carry a golden trumpet, but they threw the golden trumpet out, and now they are carrying a ram's horn. Delusion. They have been deluded as pirates. pilots to deliberately fly into a thunderstorm. They have been deluded as a captain who refused to avoid the storm and navigate straight into a storm and fierce winds. They are beside themselves. I pray for you this morning that whoever has gotten away from the voice of reason, whoever is driving straight ahead into the valley of moral disaster, may the God of heaven deliver them. And said, may the God of heaven deliver them by fire. And when he came to himself. Listen, precious hearts. It was like one day something came on him. Whatever has come on you that is not of God, may fire destroy them. Something came upon this young man. And if I'm to illustrate it from the way I see it in the narrative, he stepped out of himself. He said, that's who I used to be. This is who I am now. Whoever doesn't like it, let them go and hug Transformer. It's like you are now looking at two different personalities. Who you used to know and who you now know. Whose behavior you were once accustomed to and who is now acting uncharacteristically. What? I can imagine daddy looking at him and say, son, is this you? Or is this somebody else? I can imagine daddy saying, what in the world happened to my son? But it was too late because, like they say in my village, the dog that wants to be lost will never hear the whistle of the hunter. Blow the whistle as hard as you would. The dog is ready to stray away. The prodigal son, he had not just run away from himself. He had not only run away from his father. He had not only run away from his brother. He had not only run away from his family. He had not only run away from home. But he ran away from himself. He made an escape from the voice of reason. He made an escape from the voice of good conscience. He made an escape from his better nature. He made an escape from the way God had made him. And he said, I'm leaving. I'm going. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to walk in my own way. I'm going to enjoy myself. Daddy looked at him as he left, took the money he gave him, took the traveler's checks, and took the clothes, got into his car, and daddy said, what happened to him? What happened to him? Do you know the way people are looking at you right now? People are asking questions. What happened to you? Honestly. Who put a spell on you? Who told you wrong is right? Who you. You can walk away from the cross and still get to Abraham's bosom. Who told you that you can do evil and ultimately get away with it? And everybody was just shaking their hands and their heads, and they were saying, it's not him. He's beside himself. Whatever is not you that has become you, may fire destroy them this morning. You didn't hear my prayer. I'm saying whatever is not you that has become you this morning, may fire destroy it. Allow me to take this truth to a higher level. I warned you before I started. The other translations of the Bible even makes this thing more serious. I checked not one, not two, not three, not four other translations. This is what it says about the beginning of verse 17. It says, when he came to his senses. Wait a minute. Does that mean he had lost his senses? That is what it looks like. Are you saying he has lost his mind? That is what it looks like. Hey, can we call a spade and not a well-known agricultural implement? Anyone who strays away from the path of righteousness is insane. Anyone who deviates and walks away from the Father has lost his mind. It's not himself. It's like a person who has lost his senses. It's like a person who has lost his mind. Because you see, their character now becomes like the character of someone who has gone insane. You Americans who are here this morning, you don't really know who an insane person is. Because in America, they manage insanity very well. Come to my country. Then you will see insane people. Will take you to the market. And when I say market, I know you don't understand it. You are thinking grocery. You are thinking wall bonds. When I say market, market is market under the mango tree. And right under that mango tree, you see crazy men, crazy women. Some of them stark naked. Some of them with hair that is dirty, with lies walking all over them, and they are talking to themselves. That is the real madman. We Africans who see insane people all the time can best describe to you who an insane person is. And if this afternoon you have walked away from the truth, if this afternoon you have decided to exchange heaven for hell, if this afternoon you have decided to exchange holiness for filthiness, I want you to listen to me very closely as I describe to you the state of a person who has lost his senses. You know, you can tell an insane person by their change of behavior. That's the first way. You know a man is insane by their change of behavior. I want you to check yourself out. The last 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, maybe 1 year. Are you still who you used to be? Or has behavior changed? Insane people have changed your behavior. The way they talk is different. The way they dress is different. I saw an insane man the other day eating sand. The way they eat is different. So is someone who has strayed away from the Father. Your diet changes. Your dressing changes. Your friends change. And the way you talk also changes. The sad thing is there are different stages of insanity. See, there's the insane man that doesn't talk. He's just looking at you like this. He's insane, no? He said, why have you suddenly gone into yourself? He's crazy. If anyone talks to him, he's not responding. He's just looking at this. They say, this one needs psychiatric evaluation. But there is the other one who just talks to himself. When others are crying, he's laughing. You see, when your character changes, what makes real Christians cry will make you laugh. What others are looking at and they are trembling and they are shaking and they are saying eternity, eternity, heaven, heaven. You say, which heaven, which heaven? Who told you anybody who does this will not go to heaven? Who told you? Who told you? You have gone to Itiola's church. He has turned your head. For us, we have been in this madness for a long time. Oh, no. They don't admit that they are mad. We have been in this sanity for a long time. And consequently, what you are crying about, you should be laughing about it. Hold it. Hold it. If you die in your sanity, if you meet God beside yourself, then you will know who is right and who is wrong. Seen a lot of insane people in my life. And one thing else that I found out about insane people is that in most cases, if you charge them with insanity, they are angry with you. We used to have a young man in our church in the Bronx. Gradually, he became insane. He will go around from train to train all day long. He will not go to work. And then he will come and meet me in my office. And he will talk. And I looked at him and said, brother so-and-so, you are getting insane. And he will be angry with me. Who is insane? Pastor, you are the one who is insane. I am not insane. Insane people, they never agree that they are insane. When a man is ready to destroy himself, when a woman is ready to destroy herself, it is the rest of you that are trying to live right that are wrong. He's the one who's right. Let me tell you something. No matter what I do in life, no matter how much I love to do it, if one person, if two people, if three people come to me cautioning me about doing that thing, I will step back and take a second look. That could one person, two people, three people, four people that I know love me genuinely, that I know love Christ genuinely, are telling me to take a second look at this thing. Shouldn't I take a second look? But mad people don't. They go headlong. Hey, I hope God has sent me to somebody here this morning. You are about to take a step. And what God is doing with this sermon, he's holding your feet. And he's saying, don't jump. Don't jump. It's a bottomless pit. You are jumping in and you say, leave me alone. Leave me alone. Leave me alone. Well, you cry, leave me alone for long, God will leave you alone. But they might not even find your body after the destruction is over. It says, and he came to his senses. Have you noticed that if you recommend psychiatric treatment for many people who have psychiatric challenges, they will tell you nothing's wrong. Nothing's wrong. I remember one of the saints that got into some psychiatric problem, and we went to visit this saint in the hospital in Brooklyn. And we sat down, we were talking. And the saint looked at me and said, "Can you believe what my brothers did? Can you believe what my sisters did? They brought me here. This is a place for mad people. And they brought me here. Pastor, they brought me here. A place for mad people. They have grouped me with the mad people." And yet, he's mad. How do you counsel a woman like that? How do you counsel a man like that? They are beside themselves. After the medication worked, and this individual came back to church, he said, "Pastor, thank you. Thank you. You know, I had serious psychiatric problem. And I thank God for my brothers. I thank God for my sisters that they took me there." He said, "Why didn't you come and visit me?" The person wasn't herself. "I went there, they did not even know. You are so drunk with what you want to do. You read Bible, you tear the passage you don't like and shred it. The counselors that come to you and say, 'Go and seek help,' you say, 'I don't need help. I've got the Holy Ghost.'" He was out of his senses. And when a man or a woman is out of his or her senses, passion will overrule reason. Have you ever tried to reason with some Christians? I remember a lady in our church many, many years ago when I was back in Africa. I don't know what happened. He just fell in love with an Alhaji from the Muslim religion. This was a strong Christian, seriously strong, just fell in love with an Alhaji. How can an Al-Christian fall in love with an Alhaji? There was one reason. She was beside herself. There were three of them like that. Two were rescued. The third couldn't be rescued. The third, hey, the manipulation to get out of herself and become somebody else came from her family. They have looked for ways to destroy her. The anointing will not let them destroy her. They have looked for methods to bring her down. The anointing will not let them bring her down. So they said, "Let her be manipulated to fall in love with the wrong man." And she did. We looked for her in church. She was missing. Looked for her in Bible study. She was missing. So naturally, we went after her. And we asked her, "What happened?" She said, "What happened?" "So it's only people that go to church that are Christians?" Huh? See, somebody who is beside him, she's crazy, but she does not know. It's only people that go to church that are Christian, because I've missed church for 2 Sundays. Now all of you are bringing your useless feet to my house. Please get your feet out before I take a broom and sweep the feet out. Proper African. Before we realized it, they were going in and out. She was changing clothes because the man was very rich. Riding in the back of a nice car in what in Africa we call owner's corner. And when we were coming, she would shut the door. If her house girl saw us coming, say, "Mommy is not home." She's home. She's home. Who are you deceiving? You are deceiving yourself. But the people that manipulated her to walk away from Christ, they were still firing her. Whoever anywhere is firing you, may thunder strike them this morning. Whoever has made up their minds and they will
pull you away from Christ so they can destroy you. May they meet with failure in the name of Jesus. Hey!
Suddenly, we heard that she became a mental patient. The city of Lagos is one of the biggest cities in Africa. She started walking on the street, talking to herself. Let me tell you something. This journey that you have started, this terrible journey that you have started, hey, if you don't stop, where you will end up, yeah, this is on time warning for you. Where you will end up will shock you, and to recover yourself may be impossible. So some of the brothers went and grabbed her and took her to the mental institution. We were all crying. How can somebody begin in faith, in grace, and end up in grass when you lose your mind, when you lose your senses? Anything can happen to you. She escaped from the mental institution, started talking on the street. They say I'm mad, but they are the ones that are mad. See, that's the way you look at us now. And you are telling us, shut up. You are the people that are mad. I am in my right mind. So they called us one day that there is a corpse on the streets of Lagos. We went there. It was the body of a princess that once taught us Bible study, that once taught us how to pray, that once taught us how to fast. But when insanity finished with her, she went to an early grave. I am not the one who sits on the panel of who gets to heaven and who doesn't. But I just wonder what heaven will say when she came in. That they counseled you. You are wiser. They advise you. You turn the deaf ear. You came to the other side earlier than your destiny planned for you. I want to say to the young people, don't die before your time. I know to you, you are in your right mind. And I know your parents are the old cargoes who are blocking your joy, who are blocking your having a good time. But they know they've been crazy like you before. And they are telling you, God deliver them from craziness so you don't destroy yourself. They are pleading and begging, and you are saying, you are too old to understand. And he came to his senses. But the good news this morning is this. The prodigal son did not die in his state of rebellion. I thank God for that. The prodigal son did not die in his state of delusion. My prayer for you is that you will come to yourself before it is too late. I know what I'm talking about. I've been there. I've been where you lose your sense. 1974, I came to know the Lord. About around 1976, 1977, I started missing the boys that we used to have a good time with. I came out of myself. And I said, wow. Those times we used to mix Guinness with palm wine and illicit gin. And then you put a little milk. Hey. And then you drink the thing, you'll be singing. You become a composer. You think I already can compose? Come and hear me when I used to compose. And we'll be composing songs and singing songs all over the village. I remembered all those. I said, I miss these boys because they made me laugh. And I made them laugh. I stepped out of myself. Don't get me wrong. I was still going to church. Don't get me wrong. I was still the leader of the youths in the church. I was the leader of the Christ Ambassadors group. Don't get me wrong. I was still the interpreter for the pastor. But I had already stepped out of myself. Activities in God's house don't mean you're still where you used to be. No. I didn't go out to commit some grievous sin. No, but I had already stepped out of myself. Listen, what are you looking for out there? Miss Giraffe. What are you looking for out there? Mr. Longneck. Oh, the grass is greener on the other side than this side where I am. Oh, you know what they call Gamaline 20? That is the insecticide that they put on that grass. Bite it, and you bite death. So I wrote my friend, he was now in the School of Agriculture. I wrote him, I said, Mr. So-and-so, you just abandoned me, Sha. You just left me. And we used to be close friends when we were teaching in the village. Amazingly, he wrote me back. He said, my friend, we didn't walk away from you. You are the one that walked away from us. If you want to walk back to us, the door is always open. Hey! That simple statement, if you want to walk back from us, back to us, grabbed hold of me. And I said, wait a minute. If I walk back to this guy, I have to walk away from God. Because friendship with the world is enmity with God. Draw nigh unto me, he said, and I will draw nigh unto you. There is a way that seemeth right, hey, unto a man, but the end thereof. I never even replied him. You know what I did? I quickly stepped back into where I stepped out of. I don't know what your circumstance is this morning. I don't know what your situation is this morning. I don't know what you are faced with this morning. And you've made up your mind. You've made a choice. I'm not going to leave church. I'm not going to leave Fresh Anointing. I'm not going to leave anybody. But I'm going to walk out of Christ. And I will do it. And anybody who talks to me, I will dress them down. We won't even talk to you. We'll pray for you. In fact, it's the prayer that brought you this morning, so you could retrace your steps from where you stepped out of. He came to himself. That was what happened to David. He came out of himself. Look, by the time he stepped back, he had wounds that could not be healed till today. Is this something I will tell you of? Who stepped out of himself? I can go on and on and on and on, giving you examples upon examples upon examples. We used to have a church. I used to be part of a church in Montgomery, Alabama, Evangel Temple. There was a young guy, a young white Caucasian boy, who went to college. Never messed up his life with any woman. It was the first try. So let me even try it and see how it is. After all madmen are doing it. So I can become madman too. Went and slept with a lady. Never knew the lady was HIV positive. Never knew. And those days there were no good medication like we have today. Those days they couldn't prolong your life. Once you had HIV in those days, you had a death sentence. Thank God for the advancement of medicine. I remember the day we did his funeral. Everybody was weeping. Everybody was crying. And on his deathbed, he kept saying, "Why did I? Why did I? Why did I?" I can see demons beckoning you right now. I can see demons shaking it in front of you. And they're saying it is sweet. Drink it. It will give you long life. Taste it. It will make you live better. Grab it. If you grab it, you grab poison. If you grab it, you grab a rattlesnake snake by the tail. If you grab it, you put your hand in the mouth of a crocodile. It will tear you into pieces. And he came. What about all the money you got? Didn't satisfy me. What about all the good times, the night parties? Beat it, beat it, beat it, beat it, beat it. Michael Jackson was beating it for him. What about all that? Oh no, there's no joy in it. What about all the drinking stupors, all the girls, the one that sat on your right lap, the one that sat on your left lap, and the one that licked your hair? He said, all I did was lose my hair. I didn't enjoy it. You mean you made a mistake? Oh yeah. It was a mistake. So what are you going to do now? I'm going back home. I'm going back home. You know what God used? God used grace and disappointment. That's what God used. Grace and disappointment. God looked at this boy. He said, this boy, I'm going to give you a blessing of grace and a blessing of disappointment. Wherever he looked for satisfaction, he met dissatisfaction. Wherever he looked for fulfillment, he became unfulfilled. Wherever he looked for joy, he found sadness. Hey, it may be difficult for you to say amen to my next prayer, but I will pray for you anyway. May you never find satisfaction outside God. May you never find satisfaction outside God. May you never find fulfillment running from the word of God. May you never find joy living apart from the truth. May a state of spiritual insanity never be your permanent state. God used disappointment. Everywhere you turn, in this your quest to disobey God, everywhere you turn, in this your quest. I used to have a friend in our church, in the Assemblies of God I was a member of in 1974. He came to Sunday school one day and gave a testimony. He said, people, you'll never believe where I went yesterday. He was a happily married man. We were all singles. He said, I just got up yesterday night. And I went to the red light district in Lafenwa. That's the side of the town. It's my hometown. It's a place we call Lafenwa. He said, I went to Lafenwa side, to red light district. I said, what did you go to do there? I was a Sunday school teacher. He said, I just want to have fun. I want to test somebody else other than my wife. I said, really? He said, yes. And you know when people are hearing negative things about others, they listen very well. The whole class was quiet. What is next? So they can gossip. He said, I got there. I got out of the taxi. And I went there. And I was looking for a babe. Know what I mean by babes? Let all the babes say amen. Nobody is saying amen. Nobody is saying amen.
Said I got there. Said I was ready. Said I used some medication, self, so I could perform. Said I was looking for a baby. He said the general manager of the red district said, okay, room 7 is available. Go to room 7. He had already stepped out of himself. He said when he got to room 7 and the woman opened the door, he said his great-grandmother will be younger than this woman. He said the woman smiled like this. There was no single tooth in her mouth. Does that sound like disappointment?
I said, everywhere you turn to run from God, may you meet with disappointment. Every appointment that you already have now, that you're going to feel after service today, may it end in disappointment. There are people that will leave church to go and do wrong. There are people that will leave church to go and walk away from God. You shall not be able to do it by fire. Amen.
So we say, what did you do? Said, I look for another taxi. And I came back home. And he said, when he got home, he asked himself a question. What happened to me? What happened to me? Why in the world did I do what I just did? I have to tell my wife, and I have to tell them in Sunday school tomorrow. And he did. And you know what? From that day, he became strong. From that day, he became holy. From that day, he became righteous. Continue to cover it. Continue to cover it. Continue to cover it. The more you cover it, the more you are going under. The more you cover it, the more it will have victory over you. The more you cover it, the more it will destroy you. The more you cover it, the more it will be difficult for you to have the victory. Expose the devil. Expose the flesh. Expose your weakness. And God will give you the strength to go forward. Shout fire. He said, I'm stepping back into myself. The spiritual bipolar then said in verse 18, he said, I will arise. Hallelujah. Everybody say, I will arise. You know, we know you are back to your old self by the way you talk. Know it. You can just hear how a man used to talk and how a man talks now, you know, oh yeah, it's back to his old self. He said, I will arise. He said, I will arise. He said, and I will go to daddy. Hey! That was the daddy I walked away from. I'm going back to him. Do you know daddy has been waiting for you for months, for weeks, for years? And you know, every time they said the grace and your chair was vacant, he looked at the family and said, nobody sit on his chair until he comes back. And they were praying. If you know how many people are praying for you, you'll be giving God the praise. He said, I will arise. It's not him. No, it's grace.
May grace give you deliverance. May grace give you strength. May grace give you a restoration. In the mighty name of Jesus. He said, I arise
and go to the Father. We know that you are coming back by the direction you are headed. Because you know, for some people, if this one didn't walk, then another one will walk. Huh? If this one has become an ordeal, then let's find a new deal. But he said, no, I don't want a new deal. I'm going back to daddy. And I'm going to say some things to daddy
I'm going to say some things to that. I told you the things that you say out of your mouth will let us know whether you are insane or you have been healed of insanity. Said, I will say to him, Daddy, I have sinned against heaven and against thee. I thank God for acknowledgement. When a person is really ready to step back into themselves, they will acknowledge some things as bad that they used to praise as good. And he says, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the higher servants. And he arose. And he said, where are you going? It's none of your business. I'm going home. I'm going home. I'm going home. Whether daddy will receive me or not, I don't know, but I'm going home. Whether daddy will throw me out or not, I'm going home. It's safer there than here. There's more love there than here. There's more acceptance there than here. He walked away from his friends. He walked away from his boss. He walked away from the pigs. He walked away from the cassava that the pigs were eating. He walked away from all those things. And he said, until you are willing to walk away, you will never walk into freedom. Did you hear what I said? There are some things God has been calling you. Walk away from it. Walk away from it. Walk away from it. If you don't walk away from it, you'll never be able to walk into God. He stood up and he said, I'm going home. I'm going home. But you know what? Daddy has always sat where he was sitting that day, looking at the horizon and saying, that one looks like my son. Oh, he's not. I hope he's alive. I hope he's not dead. But one glorious morning, the boy showed up. And daddy said, that's my son. That's my son. The daddy didn't sit where he sat. He got up and ran to meet him halfway. I challenge you to take a step. And God will take two steps towards you. And the one that you thought will judge you, the one that you thought will condemn you, the one that you thought will ridicule you, will meet you with open arms and grab you and hug you and say, my son was dead and now he's alive. My son was lost and now he's found. Put a ring in his hand. Put new clothes on him. There is a breakthrough waiting for you. There is a blessing waiting for you. If you will take a step this morning and say, you know what? I'm stepping back to where I used to be. Everybody rise. God told me to do this. And he said, whoever obeys him, he will bless them. See, you don't necessarily have to go into sin to step out from where you used to be. The Bible talks about lay aside every weight and the sin. There are things that are not sinful, but that are weights. You are carrying those weights. They are hindering you from being who you need to be. Daddy is right here. Angels are right here. You know what God will give you this morning? Strength like you never had before. I'm telling you, grace like you never had before. You say, well, I don't know. I don't know why. I used not to masturbate, but now I can't stop masturbating. It's because you have no grace. It's because you have no strength. You see, now the devil will even justify, rather than go out and commit sin, rather than go out and commit adultery or fornication, why don't you do self-servicing? You found that in the Bible. How can you masturbate and not have problem with lust? And how can you lust and be a candidate for heaven? I said, whatever the weight is, whatever the sin is, I don't need to know about it. Nobody here needs to know about it. Just tell daddy, daddy, I stepped out. Now I'm stepping in. And daddy will say, put new clothes on him. Put new anointing on him. Put new power on him. Put new ring in his finger. Put new shoes on his feet. Let's kill a cow. Let's kill a camel. Let's make a feast. There is a feast going to be made in heaven because of some people this morning in the mighty name. If I'm talking about you, come.
Come and ask the Father to help you. There's no shame in God's house. Come and say, God, I stepped out. Now I step in again. Come. 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 Cardi, play some soft music for me. Just come and say, God, I need some strength. I need new grace. I need new strength. I stepped. I know who I used to be. I know who I, how I used to pray. I know how I used to read the Bible. I know how I used to love God. I know how I used to witness. I know how I used to take the things of God. But I stepped away from those things. Now, Lord, I step back. I step back. I step back.
If you look at those who come to the pulpit, to the front this morning, you say, oh, these people are sinners. They have done wrong. They don't necessarily have to have done wrong that will even take them to hell. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people that have gotten away. You got away from it. You justified yourself. But you know, deep down, this is wrong. What do you say, Daddy? I just don't have the strength, you know. I don't have the grace, you know. And that's what we have come to say here. Come and collide with strength. Come and collide with grace. Come and collide with mercy. Come and collide with power. Hey. And he came. I'm waiting. I'm not going to wait all day. Wells wants a touch. We have the oil, right? That's a new anointing that will come upon all your lives. That's a new strength that will come upon all your lives. That's a new grace that will come upon all your lives. When we get to heaven, we'll find out what happened to the prodigal son. What pushed him? Whatever is pushing you, God will push it back away from you. By his grace. Wherever you are standing, I want you to start praying right now. I want you to start praying where you are. And say, God, I'm stepping back for new strength, for new grace. Come. Let the Lord inject you with new strength. God is ready to release you. Yes. Stability with the Father. Constancy. God the Father.
Jesus.
No, what are you speaking?
Standing by this altar, and those of you who are standing in the audience, I want you to say these prayers after me. I want you to say, my Father, you are a loving Father. You are a caring Father. You are Daddy indeed. You don't throw away your children. Thank you for loving me. Oh God. See, everything that I stepped away from in God. See, give me grace to step back fully, completely back into God, and never to step out again. So give me the grace never to be beside myself again. I come back to myself. Senses and nothing. Say, and nothing. Say, and no one, and no circumstance, and no situation shall pull me again. Give me strength, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Say amen. Heavenly Father, you said, whosoever comes unto you, you will in no wise cast out. Wherever this persuasion came from, we return it to sender. Wherever this manipulation came from, we return it to sender. For these men and women, boys and girls, new strength, new grace, new power, new anointing. May it be your portion in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, may you be more dynamic than you ever was. May the Father love you now like he never loved you before. And may your light so shine before men from this day that they will see your good works and give glory to the God of heaven. I receive that for you in the name of Jesus. May that be your portion. Even as I anoint you with oil, may new power rest upon you. May new grace rest upon you. May the past go into the past. And may all things become new in the name of Jesus. Everybody said amen. Everybody said amen. Everybody said amen. I touch you with oil, you can go back. New strength, new grace, new strength, new grace, new strength, new grace. Hallelujah. New strength. Come, 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 come. New strength.
yes. Hallelujah. New strength. New grace. New strength. New grace. New strength. New grace. New strength. New grace. New strength shall be your portion. New strength. New strength. New grace. In the name of Jesus. May you be strengthened like never before. May you be empowered like never before. New strength for you. New grace for you. God bless you. New strength, new grace. New strength, new grace. New strength, new grace for you in the name of Jesus. New strength, new grace for you. I'm making new strength for you. Everybody stand and sing with Brockhampton right now. Sing it, sing it, sing it, sing it, sing it, sing it. Sing it. As you leave this place this afternoon, may grace go with you. May strength go with you. May the spirit of obedience possess you. May the spirit of staying in the Father's house be your portion. May nothing, no manipulation from hell be able to pull you from the side of your Father again. Jesus Christ, strength to run this race, grace to go on this journey, may it be your portion. You will never be weak, you will never be weary, you will never be tired. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. And everybody said amen. Everybody said amen. Everybody said amen.